friends, and thank you for joining me for a mini episode of What Page Are You On? Now, you don't have to be the most avid listener to know that Alice and I like the darker things in life, but when two of the coolest gals on my Twitter timeline teamed up to write a novel based on a massively popular Facebook group, I knew this was something that I wanted to get involved with. So today, I'm joined by Ema and Sarah, founders of Oh My God, What a Complete Ashling, and co-authors of the novel of the same name. I want to talk to them about working collaboratively, being funny women, and the wild highs of their success. So listen up. I did not lie when I said that you were the founders of the Facebook group, did I?
That's absolutely us. True.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Like, so as soon as I said it, I was like, maybe you just wrote the book, but you didn't do the Facebook group.
No, the Facebook group was like literally, Emer actually created it 10 years ago.
Yeah, about 10 years ago. We lived together. We were we weren't students at the time, but we had been students together and then lived together. And we're often hungover, sitting around, and we came up with the character of Ashling. And then I created the Facebook group because this was a time before WhatsApp groups or any group sharing situations, really. And it was the only way to kind of gather together the thoughts of a group of people. So it was just for us and our friends, and it grew from there.
In a nutshell, can you define an Ashling for me on the record?
Okay, Ashling, one of Ashling's defining traits is that she's constantly waiting for her boyfriend to propose.
Yeah.
She lives kind of like a life of quiet desperation. She is a very fun person, but she's super sensible. Like, she has a lot of what we call, say in Ireland, cop on.
Yeah.
So she would never, for example, pay the 5p for a plastic bag. She would bring her reusable bag. It's not because she's concerned about the environment. It's because she's not paying that 5p when she doesn't have to. And she will mind the bags on a night out. She's that friend.
Yeah,
really reliable. But then the next day she might also say, oh, what you were doing last night, you know, you're a bit drunk, whatever. So she can be a little bit annoying in that sense.
Yeah.
But she's also kind of aspirational for us because she's very sensible.
She's never lost her mobile phone.
No.
Yeah.
She's
never dyed her hair. She's not a very adventurous person. Like, she wears bootcut jeans. She is the one who keeps the brown mascara going.
Oh my God, she is the reason that brown mascara still
exists.
Yeah.
And I think in the UK she would drink an All Bar One. That's where she would go, you know, nice, safe lady.
As soon as you read it, or as soon as you like engage with the content of the Facebook group, you understand exactly who this person is. But it's so hard. If someone said to me, like, what's this book you're reading, what's an Ashling, I'd be like, I actually can't describe.
A way it's been described, which has been handy, is a kind of like an Irish Bridget Jones.
Yeah.
Which is a little bit obvious, but at the same time it's a good way to kind of lead into Ashling, because they're similar. Bridget and Ashling are similar in some ways, but not a whole lot. But I don't know if there's an English or UK version of Ashling.
No, but like, say in literature, you know, like Sweet Valley High.
Yeah.
Elizabeth Wakefield.
Absolute Ashling. Yeah.
Whereas Jessica is like the fun one.
Yeah. Okay, so this all began with a Facebook group trying to kind of define and celebrate the quintessential Ashling.
Yeah, and it was where we shared our Ashlingisms with each other. So I remember when I used to work in a magazine on a Friday, we would all just be like screaming with laughter reading the Facebook page, and then slowly people started to join it. But we were always able to kind of trace it back to me or Emer or someone we knew. And then one day there was someone we just couldn't trace back.
Yeah, someone joined the group and we were like, who's
this?
Is this imposter?
And then it just kept going and going, and then every once in a while, like, somebody, like a radio DJ, would mention it and we'd get an influx of members.
Yeah.
And while it was quite small, it was easy to police, like, people, it was still very on message. But then when the book came out and we now have 50,000 members, it can sometimes get a bit diluted, and people are looking for recommendations for hairdressers and things like that.
Ashling's looking for recommendations.
Oh my God. So the group is now overrun with Ashling.
It absolutely is,
but in Ireland now people refer to people as like an Ashling. We have Gogglebox, our own version of Gogglebox over there, and there's these two really funny guys who live in a kind of a fancy part of Dublin, and they were watching a segment on one of our talk shows about wedding dresses, and live on, or not even live on TV, but on TV, they said, oh, all the Ashlings at home are going mad for this,
and we were like, scream.
Our phones were like lighting up the so it's like now in like the vernacular, which is crazy to us.
Yeah, that's so cool. And last time I checked, it has like over 50,000 members.
Yeah,
and what you can't see is all the pending member requests. So there's like 9,000.
It's a private group on Facebook. It's closed. There used to be an issue with media outlets taking some of the content.
Rude.
And taking some sensitive content that, you know, was shared in good faith. So we had to shut it down about a year ago, 18 months ago, maybe. Yeah.
Because there's no, I mean, people ask us, do we make money off the Facebook group? You know, is there any way to monetize? We don't make, like, it's, if anything, it just costs us time and energy to do all the admin and approve people and all the rest of it. So if we were smarter business ladies, we would have somehow put ads in there years ago, but...
Nah, who has time for that?
Yeah.
So how did it become a book? Obviously, this is a books podcast.
Yeah.
As much as it's like a lady chat podcast.
Yes.
Tell me about the path to it being a book.
Well, the Facebook group has been around for 10 years. So an Irish publisher approached us and said, have you thought about putting something on paper? We'd like to maybe work with you and Sarah on putting a book together. And I think at the time they thought maybe that it was... they would do something maybe as a present, a gift type book, so it would be a collection of funny, you know, Aisling would never do this, Aisling always
like cartoons or something, because this publisher doesn't even publish fiction actually.
Yeah, and Sarah and I just kind of thought about it and said, will we chance it and see if they'll let us do a novel, or can we do a novel? So we went back to them and they took a chance and said, okay, do whatever you want, write us up a proposal for a novel, a page of a, you know, a plot line or a story arc. And we went back to them with something that we did in the pub the night before. And they said, great, go
and
for
is
it.
Is that what it is? Like, the book that you wrote is the book that you said you were going to write?
More or less.
Pretty much. I mean, the plot thing was very vague. But myself and Emer, so we went to college together, we studied media. Then Emer went on and worked in radio for a long time, and then in digital media, and I worked in magazines. So we never worked together, even though we kind of were similar paths.
Yeah.
So, you know... worst case scenario, you know, we thought this is just a good chance for us to do a project together, because we're quite lazy as well, so we need somebody to give us a little push. And then, you know, best case scenario, we had no idea it would take off like it did in Ireland. It became a number one bestseller.
40,000 copies sold.
Yes.
Or like, more probably now, because that was... Yeah. That's probably...
And we outsold David Walliams, which in books terms is like massive news.
Yeah.
Christmas. We sold 11,000 books on Christmas week. Like, it's
that's
insane
so
to
wild.
Us.
Yeah.
And at the time, we didn't even realise how big it was. But now, because we've been in the industry like 4 months longer, we've kind of realised that those numbers are insane.
Yeah.
Like, it's such a huge achievement. And then we got ourselves an agent because we're fancy. And we weren't sure, you see, if the book would travel, because the humour is so Irish. But then they approached many different UK publishers, and there was a lot of interest, and in the end we went with the fabulous Michael Joseph.
Top lads.
We are in Penguin Random House offices.
Penguin Towers.
It's crazy.
What was it like writing a novel together? Like, have you written fiction before, either of you?
No.
Okay, so it's not like you had prior knowledge of how to do it on your own.
No.
So in a way it was probably like not super weird to do it with someone else.
No, and in fact, we couldn't imagine writing a book like independently.
So many words.
It's
so
really long.
Yeah.
I assure you, writing a book on your own is long.
Yeah.
I mean, not that it's not long writing it with someone else.
Yeah.
But it's half the length.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's much more manageable.
Yeah. We invented a process for writing a book together, which was, we decided what was going to happen in the first few chapters, you know, storyline. Basically, this will happen at the start of chapter one, at the end, and then had those little points, and then flipped a coin to see who would write chapter one and who would write chapter two, and away we went.
Oh my God, so is that how you did it?
You just
alternated?
So we did it on Google Docs, so I was able to, like, Emma would copy in her stuff, and it was new to me, it was fresh to me, so it was all very funny, like, it was gas to, like, read her stuff when it came in, and then I would be like, mine is so terrible compared to hers.
We both felt like I thought Sarah's was great, and that mine was bad.
It's very normal.
Yeah.
To feel like you're working.
But because we're good friends, we have a similar turn of phrase and tone, it read like the same person.
Yeah, I would not know. I was like, did they literally have to meet up like every day to just like write?
That would
never.
I mean, I remember we tried to write one thing like that,
something
like a small,
like
the prologue or something.
Yeah,
we tried to sit down and write it together,
and you just end up writing a sentence, deleting it. You know, it's impossible.
Yeah,
but then I guess during the editing process, bits of us are sprinkled all over it. So there's some pages and chapters and storylines that we don't know who wrote what.
Yeah, so when it came to editing and we got notes back from editors or whatever, then we split the book in half.
Yeah.
And made... so then I would be making some changes to Sarah's stuff and vice versa. So between all of that, it's very collaborative.
And even the version that has come out in the UK is... there are some slight changes to the original Irish version because there are some things that are just too Irish.
They just wouldn't track.
That was what I wanted to know as well.
Although
I don't
know, maybe you read the original. What did your copy look like? The one that...
It has a white cover.
Oh, so you read the original Irish version.
So it has that same kind of lettering as the finished UK copy.
Yes.
But your one is the original one, so we did the revisions for the one that's going to be in the show.
Yeah.
So
I really want to know, like, what has been changed for the UK.
And
what is a yoke?
Can you remember?
That's what I want to know. What does yoke mean?
Like,
why yoke? Like,
It can mean a few different things.
Yeah.
It felt like it was just used as like multi-purpose thing.
Oh, like that yolk.
So it means a thing.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
but it also means a little tablet you may take on a night out to enjoy.
A little pep.
If you're in Dublin and someone asks you, have you any yolks? Just
say
walk,
no,
walk away.
Okay. I am not a literal drug dealer.
But yolk means thing.
That was literally the only thing that I was like, I don't know what that means.
So we had a lot of Irish celebrities that we had to change. Some things like you don't have meanies, which are like a pickle.
Yeah, some food stuff.
No, we don't.
We had to change that to Monster Munch.
And describe things like what the Rose of Tralee is.
Oh, yeah. No, mine didn't have that, but I know because of Irish Twitter.
Okay,
yes.
And phrases like bullying, to be really angry.
Oh, my God, I'm really sad that those were changed because, I think if you just read the Irish one, it's not that hard to figure out.
Not all of them were changed, but sometimes they just needed to be explained.
It actually was a minimal amount of stuff that just wouldn't have made any sense. There are some words in it that are in the Irish language, and there's just no way.
Oh yeah, those I'm just like, I accept this is not for me.
Not everything is for me. But just to make it a bit more palatable for people who really aren't in tune with Irish humour at all, be better to just take out words like plamas. There's an Irish word plamas, which means to kind of sweet talk or soft talk somebody, but it just made no sense in the context, so we have to take it out.
Well, I thoroughly enjoyed reading the original one.
Brilliant.
Oh, thank you. That's good.
And I was really kind of surprised. I thought it was just going to be a barrel of laughs all the way through. Mm. And hashtag no spoilers, but it's really not. Yeah. It's deep and it's also sad.
Yes.
Well, we wanted Aisling to go on a bit of a journey. So, as Emer said, we had this character for 10 years and we had the opportunity to put her into a book, and life isn't all rainbows and balloons and unicorns or whatever. So, and we wanted her to experience things and people and situations that she mightn't have been, woke to.
Yeah, and also things that are real life for a woman in her late 20s or anybody of that age. You know, bad things happen.
I also thought it really, kind of humanised her as well. Because, I think in the beginning, I didn't like her.
Yeah.
She wasn't someone that I would naturally... I feel like the kind of Sive and Elaine characters are much more the people that the likes of us would know.
Yeah, exactly.
Whereas Aisling is very much not someone that I would naturally gravitate towards.
Yeah.
She's a bit of I don't know if you have the saying, a bit of a square.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So she's a bit of a square.
She's kind of basic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But also obviously I was just rolling my eyes at all the points counting Weight Watchers bullshit.
Yeah, yeah.
But I really found that over the course of the book, she really became much more sympathetic to her.
Yeah.
And, I was rooting for her.
Yeah, that's really nice to hear as well, because
she's had a sheltered life, and then by the end of the book a lot of that shelter has been taken away. So
but she's so open to things as well. It's not that people assume that, if you're from the country you might be quite conservative. But it's just because you have, you mightn't have been exposed to certain things, doesn't mean that,
you'd respond badly to them where they thrust upon you.
Yeah, exactly.
And now we have just finished the second book and we're writing a third book in the series as well, so it's interesting because obviously Aisling changes throughout the first book, but to her core she's still an Aisling.
Yeah.
So in the second book she has to kind of
Been challenging writing another book. We never expected that we would be writing a second Aisling book.
Were you shit, if I'd known I'd have saved loads of those
titles. Yeah. Very, very much so. Yeah.
It wouldn't have happened. Still around.
Yeah. But that's maybe why people love the first book so much, because all that happens.
Yeah, it packs a lot in.
Yeah.
We tried to pack in as much as we could into the second book.
Cool.
And we're doing the screenplay for the movie as well.
Yes, that was another thing I wanted to talk about, because it's Element making it, mm-hmm. who have made some of my fave films of recent years, including The Lobster, mm-hmm. which I just think is absolutely amazing. So I think that's a very good sign that it's going to be a banging adaptation.
We feel in very good hands, don't we?
Yeah. So is it being made, or have they just acquired the rights? Oh my God.
It's in development. So we've just written the treatment, which is a synopsis, kind of the script. And the next step will be to write the first draft of the screenplay, which we'll probably do over the summer.
That is so cool.
Nice work if you can get it.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, we're kind of pinching ourselves. Although it's hard. It's hard to adapt your book into a screenplay. There are times where me and Emer were like, wouldn't it be easier just to write a screenplay from scratch?
Yeah.
Because,
there are scenes in the book and characters that we are emotionally attached to and we don't want to change them, but you have to be quite ruthless.
Yeah.
Or they will suggest, folding two characters into one character, or putting a character that was, maybe in one scene into a completely different role in the book.
Yeah.
And, you just have to have an open mind. So they've kind of held our hands.
You can really see when you think back to books you've read and then the films that you've seen that are adapted from those books, you can see how those decisions were made and how they got there. And the successful ones, they were, you know, fair play to them, because it's really, really difficult.
But you know, it's a lot of people have a say in it, so it's not just us. Like, we have a development person, and then the Irish Film Board will have a say if we're funded by them, and there's loads of different people, so we don't feel like we're kind of an island trying to do this by ourselves.
Is there like dream casting that you have in your brain? And if do you want to jinx it by like saying it out loud?
Well, we don't really have a dream actress to play Aisling, because
what size 14 Irish actresses can you think of?
Well, this is it. Like, we can't think of anyone. So we love the idea of finding an unknown.
Yeah.
And her making the role, like her being typecast as an Aisling. Yeah. And because there's so much talent as well out there, you know, it'd be cool to do like an open casting. But then there's, we love the idea as well of having like bigger names in supporting roles, so that people could really have fun with them, like maybe all the Gleeson family.
Oh my god, but there's like no gingers in the book, right?
No, we can write really ginger. Yeah, people can be ginger.
Yeah, that's fine. We can like change that for the film.
It's extremely artistic Irish.
Yeah, a lot of the people who've liked the book are like, it has to be Saoirse Ronan, but we don't really see it.
Just because she's like the only...
She's amazing.
Well, also, talented. She's too young. Yeah. She's not an Aisling.
And she's not an Aisling. Yeah. Even maybe I, an idiot English person.
Yeah,
exactly.
She'd be a nice
Saib. Yeah, Saib is Aisling's cool hip friend who wears clothes from Cos. Yeah.
I love that. I love, like, Aisling's complete confusion at, like... at Sive's wardrobe and
so shapeless. Nothing figure hugging.
And like the way she describes the like the rail in Zara, I can't remember the exact
the stage of it. God, the stage of that, and that's why it's cheap.
Because they were just like little, it's hard to explain like why something is funny, but it's just when you just know who that person is.
Yeah.
And the phrases they use. Like there was just something about, it was really early in the book about like, there's no reason for Australia to be that big. And it was just the way that she said it. I was like,
Yeah, that's like something my mother would say. There's no need for Australia to be this big.
And it's just completely inexplicable. Like, that literally makes no sense. But you get what they mean. Like, you get what they're trying to say.
Yeah.
So yeah, I found it so delightful to read.
Oh, thank you. That means a lot, man. Yeah, you read a lot of books.
I do
read a lot
of books.
And
I just read, like, another Irish lady book, which was extremely dark, so it was a really like nice palate cleanser.
Yeah. Oh, lovely. It's nice to have a bit of variety.
Yeah.
Not many books are actually laugh out loud funny. So people keep telling us, even books that are billed as funny, sometimes are not that funny. So.
But it's also rare that like it make you laugh, it make you cry.
Yeah.
That's my dream.
Really rare. Yeah.
It is the dream.
All the emotions.
We've had a lot of people contact us, like accusing us of making them cry. Saying they weren't expecting it on the bus or
I was not expecting it.
Yeah.
It was much deeper than I thought.
Yeah.
So what kind of stuff do y'all like to read?
Ooh. It's been like, when you're writing a lot, I have found it difficult to get into a lot of reading because I found I'm analysing it too much. But I'm currently reading The Heart's Invisible Furies, which is another Irish book by an author called John Boyne.
Yeah.
Which I'm really enjoying. I've always loved Marion Keyes, absolute favourite. Always go back to read Rachel's Holiday, probably my favourite book of all time.
How hyped were you when she did like the cover?
I was driving and Sarah rang me and I almost crashed the car.
Screaming.
So there's a Marion Keyes quote on the front of the book in case the listeners at home did not pick up on that.
Yeah.
Which is very exciting.
Yeah, so Marion got her hands on a copy and then she sent us a DM on Twitter.
She sent us a DM on Twitter because we're both super fans.
Yeah, so we both obviously follow her on Twitter and she sent us a DM out of nowhere, out of the blue.
Isn't that wild when someone that you admire is like, I think what you're doing is cool.
And she is so supportive. She was so supportive to us and, you know, since then we've heard she's so supportive of all female Irish authors. Like, she's amazing. And she was so quick to put us into her vlog and doesn't think twice about tweeting publicly about saying this book is great. We did this live podcast in Dublin and she came and like spoke from the audience about what she loved about her books. We were like, nearly had to hold hands on.
Yeah.
Stage.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it's amazing. Happening. Like, really pinch me stuff.
Yeah.
And so she's definitely one of our literary heroines.
Yeah. How about you? What do you like to read?
I am currently reading Donal Ryan's book. So he's a big deal in Ireland at the moment, which is good. It's really good, but it's quite bleak. But as Ymir said, it's so hard to switch off. And I've brought this book to every hotel. We do like a lot of literary events now, so I keep bringing it to hotel rooms and putting it beside my bed. But I just never
naively in the hope that you'll read it.
Oh yes,
I actually reread a lot of books. And some people say they can't imagine doing that, but I do it a lot. Like, I revisit books, yeah, a lot. So I might have a pile of books I need to read, new books, but I'll be like, oh, gravitating back towards something I've read five times.
Yeah, oh, I'll pick up an Enid Blyton book.
Oh, yeah.
And be like, oh, this is nice, reminds me of my childhood.
Yeah. Yeah, I think books, like, you read books for a lot of different reasons, and it doesn't always have to be to, like, experience something new. It can be to, like, experience comfort as well. And you have children, don't you?
Yes. So at the moment, we have been doing screenplay stuff during the day, and then I do book stuff at night when they're in bed, so that's why I just haven't really read that many books lately.
Just you're reading children books. Yeah,
yes, we read a lot of those, but there's just not enough hours in the day.
Yeah,
so they keep me quite busy.
And I guess that means that, like, I think that's another way in which it's cool to have, like, a collaborator on something. Yes. Especially if, like, a lot of the burden of parenting falls upon you, and then you've got someone for whom the burden of writing and, like, keeping all your creative stuff on time, like, yes, it's really helpful to, like, share the load.
I don't know how people do it by themselves. Like, really, about twice a day, me and Emer text each other and go, thank God
there's two of us.
Yeah. Because there are, you know, we've done live TV in Ireland. We do these events now, and you're on a stage. And, like, writing is quite, as you know, is quite solitary.
Yeah.
We do our chapters individually. And then when you have a book to promote, you have to be in the spotlight, and it's just not your natural place to be. So, you know, we're very lucky. Yeah. And also, when we're writing, we brainstorm off each other.
We've done a lot of clutching at each other backstage at things, going, thank God you're here.
Was there anything in the book that one of you had a really different vision for that the other one was like, no?
I don't think so, no.
We both know this Ashley character so well.
Yeah.
Like, that's how we could pick up on thoughts. Like, a creative writing student asked us a question at an event. She's like, how can somebody pick up where you are in a chapter? Like, I don't understand. But it's because it's Ashton's voice, not our voice.
We
have a very clear idea of what that is.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there might have been small things where it's like, I just don't think Ashton would say that. And then,
yeah, would you do that in that moment? And then
once one of us have questioned it, the other one will usually go, you're right. Yeah.
In your heart, you know that's not an Ashton thing to do.
Yeah.
So obviously you're both wearing pins.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Let's have a little chat about that, because it's an important part of the book.
Yeah, so I'm wearing a pin that says Repeal the 8th.
Yep.
There's a referendum coming up in Ireland on the 25th of May, which is hopefully aiming to remove the 8th Amendment from the Constitution, which equates the right to life of the unborn to that of the mother, which means that abortion is illegal in Ireland, except in extremely rare circumstances.
Like the rarest of the rare.
Yeah,
like basically it doesn't happen. If going to die.
Yeah,
it requires a lot of loopholes. You have psychologists have to sign.
So women have died because of this amendment, and women travel to the UK to have abortions. And there was a referendum to allow that to happen. Before that referendum happened in the 90s, I think it was illegal to give anyone information about an abortion or for a woman to travel outside of Ireland to have one. So if this 8th Amendment is removed, it means that hopefully abortion, Irish women,
healthcare in their own country where it is safe to do so, free healthcare hopefully. Mm-hmm. So we are very much backing the Yes campaign, Together for Yes, to remove this amendment.
Yeah,
we're doing a photo call tomorrow, and we're lending our voices to it because it's just really important to
and there
the
is
vast majority of people in the country.
There is an abortion storyline in the book. We won't go into it too much, so we don't want to spoil it.
Yeah.
But it was very important for us to cover it in the book. Writing a book about an Irish woman in her, you know, late 20s or any Irish woman of childbearing age, it would have almost been irresponsible not to mention it. And we were given this little platform, and we wanted to use it, and we feel like we have made a bit of a difference.
Yeah, like the Irish Prime Minister, our Taoiseach, said it was his favourite book of 2017, and he's now very much, his political party are very much backing this Yes campaign. So that was...
We would imagine the book was probably put into his hands because of the social relevance it had or whatever. So it's nice to know that people like him, or like older people, older women, anyone in Ireland are reading the book and reading the storyline. So,
and we've heard some really positive stories from readers that it's been the thing. It's a subject that maybe people don't feel very comfortable talking about, and it's been the thing that sparked a conversation between parents and mothers and aunts and all that. So that's nice to hear.
We're really hoping come the 26th of May that we will be on the right side of history.
Yeah.
I wish everyone an extreme amount of luck.
Thank you. We appreciate that.
Yeah. I believe in you.
Thanks.
Well, are there any last words you would like before we peace out?
don't think so. Do you think
we are just delighted that Aisling is here in the UK. Yeah, like, it's surreal. I can't believe it. So
Aisling is happy to be here.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, she's delighted.
So she's on bookshelves from Thursday, the 3rd of May.
That's so soon.
Yeah.
So by the time this comes out, you will be able to buy your very own Aisling, an Aisling of one's own.
Yeah.
Yes, wow.
Thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks for having us.
Want to find you on the internet, and I would strongly recommend they do, because Irish Lady Internet is the best internet of all.
So, seeing, I am on Twitter at Sarah JB. That's SarahJayBee.
And I'm at Emer the Screamer, so that's EMEOR the Screamer.
Excellent.
And that's how you remember how to pronounce my name as well.
Emer the Screamer.
There's no need for me to be an embarrassing English person, I already know.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for your time, and I hope I hang out with you again soon.
Thanks, Bethany.